As I mentioned this morning at the beginning, I really don't like family trees. In fact, I hated doing family trees as a kid. And I don't know what age or grade level they start asking you to do family trees, but I remember absolutely hating it. And it's probably because my mom divorced my birth dad before I was 2 years old. And she remarried pretty early, pretty quickly after divorce. And my stepdad adopted my older sister and I, and actually changed all three of my names. But the second marriage blew up before I was in kindergarten. My mom never married the dad of my younger sister, and her third and fourth marriages were to the same man, and both of those ended in divorce. I'm not even sure that you can draw a family tree that looks like that. I can imagine some of today's kids have much the same problem that I have. I really hope that teachers have stopped asking kids to draw family trees. By the way, Amy and I are celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary this October. I don't think broken homes are an excuse for broken marriages, just on a side note. But in our gospel reading for today, Abraham and Sarah were facing a family tree issue of their own. It was looking like their family tree wasn't going to have any branches on it. In Genesis 12, when God called Abraham to leave his homeland and journey to the land that God would show him, he was already 75 years old. It was now almost 25 years later. Abraham and Sarah, Abram and Sarai, as they were called then, were lonely. And they were tired of waiting for their promised son. They were old. They were past childbearing years. Abraham wouldn't even believe the Lord's word when God came to him in a vision. God told Abraham that his reward would be great. But Abraham, believing that his name was going to die with him as he had no son, refuses to believe him. So God takes Abraham outside for a heavenly object lesson. Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. So shall your offspring be. Abraham was hoping and praying for just one. God gave him billions. And for those of you who have family tree issues like I do, whether it be divorce, remarriage, half-sisters, half-brothers, or lack of branches altogether, forget about all of that just for a bit. Find a nice, quiet evening in a real dark place and look up. Look at the stars that number in the billions. This is your family. This is your Christian family. One day, with all of these, you will stand in glory with your brothers and sisters in Christ. With these, you will have fellowship as you pray together, as we worship together, as we commune together, as we gather around the table as one body united in the faith. I don't know how you draw that, but maybe our Christian family tree is as simple as a cross. And what that cross represents is an inheritance, an eternal heritage. Many men, as they near the end of their life, wonder what they will leave behind, what they will be remembered for. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." Many men find joy in their grandchildren and for doing what's best for them. I think that's true. But it's not just true for granddads. I think it's true for grandmas and mimis and meemaws as well. As parents and grandparents, as important as it is to provide a legacy and a welfare for these little ones, I think it's important to leave a more important legacy behind for them. So I challenge you to take your kids and your grandkids out on a really dark night and show them those billions of stars in the night sky. Show them their Christian family tree. But don't forget to tell them about the one in the midst of those billions of stars that shines the brightest. Jesus is the bright morning star, and the church reflects his glory, leaving behind this legacy of faith and an attitude of a lifestyle of Christian worship in the church is the most important inheritance that one can give to their grandchildren. In a little while, I hope to hear some of the legacy of faith as the youth talk about their experience being part of the Christian family tree at the National Youth Conference in Houston. I can only imagine what it was like to be part of 20,000 LCMS youth and adults at the National Youth Gathering. And I hope that this heritage that is ours in this historical faith like ours can be reflected in them as they think about passing that on to their grandchildren. It is an inheritance that a father gives us in his son, sealed by his blood, given us through the church, and received by faith. It is the promise of the perfect family tree drawn out in the Lamb's Book of Life with all of our names written on it. You know what? Maybe family trees aren't that bad after all. Our Christian family tree is pretty great, even if it is shaped like a cross. Thanks be to God, right? Amen.